Hello, everybody. My name is Daniel Prince, and I am the host of the Once Bitten podcast. This is a podcast focused on Bitcoin. It's my mission to interview as many people as I can around the different aspects of Bitcoin and help people understand exactly what Bitcoin could mean for them and for their families and for their future. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Once Bitten podcast. Joining me on today's show is Martin Kucha from Prague. Yes, one of the brothers. Him and his brother Matthias are putting together BTC Prague for a second year. They are back, and it's going to be bigger and better than before. And that's a hard bar to clear because last year was an incredible event. If you want to get there, you can use the code BITTEN, B-I-T-T-E-N, at checkout, and you will get a 10% discount on your tickets. That's all tickets. Even if you're going to Expo Day, if you you want to get a booth for your company, I'm sure that will help you get a 10% discount on that as well. Anyway, look into it further. DM me if you need any help, and I'll put you in touch with the guys. Before we get into this show, announcement made by Wasabi Wallet. It's been a weird couple of weeks for Bitcoin. I'm sure you're all following it. If you're not, first of all, the guys that were running Samurai were arrested and are now facing trial in the US. And Wasabi Wallet, on the back of that, have made an announcement. This was made on the 2nd of May. After years of relentless dedication to improve Bitcoin's privacy, ZK Snacks, the company pioneering the development of Wasabi Wallet, is shutting down its CoinJoin coordination service, effective June 1st, 2024. So if you were CoinJoining, if you wanted to look into CoinJoining, if you've got some funds that you want to pull off an exchange and use this, you've got about 3 weeks left. WasabiWallet.io is the place to go and download that. As we move into this next era of Bitcoin, it looks as though we're going to be without the privacy tools of Samurai and Wasabi. I don't know whether this is going to kickstart a knee-jerk reaction and bring more people in to develop different, other, better tools. Who knows? That's the world in which we live right now. So that said, make sure you're stacking your Bitcoin. First and foremost, you've got Swan in the US and you have Relay across Europe at relai.ch. Both companies, you can use code BITTEN. Both companies offer you a white glove service, an opportunity to dollar cost or euro cost average or Swiss cost average your way out of fiat and into Bitcoin. And they've got a very laser-eyed focus on educating you throughout your rabbit hole journey. So go check them out. Swan, Bitcoin in the US, and relay.ch across Europe. Now, Zaprite, Zaprite, /Bitten, is going to take you to the Zaprite portal where you can have a look around, have a free trial, see what it's like to start invoicing people and accounting for your goods and services in Bitcoin. This has been built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners and is the perfect way to get over that barrier of being able to accept Bitcoin straight onto your balance sheet. So head over to Zaprite, hit the link in the show notes. What's going on in the mempool, guys? All kinds of crazy stuff. Mempool.space is the place that you can go and visualize what's going on, what's coming up, what transactions are milling about in that mempool, what are the current transaction fees, what's been going into the last blocks. I use this as a visual tool to help noobs, and it is such an incredibly powerful tool to help people understand exactly what the Bitcoin blockchain is and how it works and what the mempool is and all that good stuff. So get over there, mempool.space. And by the way, they have some of the best merch in the business. Bitbox, that's the place to go. Your cold storage, Bitbox 02. Hit the link in the show notes. You'll get 5% discount. Why is it important to take control? Well, not your keys, not your coins. If you're leaving Bitcoin on the exchanges or apps, then that's in somebody else's control. You want to take complete self-custody, and a hardware wallet or a signing device is the best and only way, really, that you can do that. So head over to Bitbox and get yourself Bitbox 02 Bitcoin-only edition right now. Orange Pill App is the place to go for you to go and find your local Bitcoiners. And head over to Looking Glass Education. Tell them I sent you. Book in a call. Up your knowledge. Do some UTXO management and consolidation. And just ask the basic questions if you need help on your Bitcoin journey. Get over there and tell the lads I sent you. And finally, a few reads from Fountain. Thank you for the boosts. Fundamentals boosted 20,000 sats. Princey has joined the pantheon of conduits for Jack's voice. I've been listening to Jack for 10 plus years and I know when he brings it. This recording is the most important 2 hours of most people's lives. That is in reference to my interview with Jack Cruz. You can go back and find that. It's episode 429 from memory. Enjoy this rip with Martin. Martin, we're recording. Great to hang out with you, man.
Hi, Daniel. Nice to see you and thanks for the invitation. It's an honor to be here with you.
No problem. Always great to hang out with Bitcoiners. I don't know. I mean, I can't believe I get to do this like 4 or 5 times a week. Just sit down and have chats with Bitcoiners and record it and then release it on a podcast and let the plebs get as much value out of it as I do as well. So thank you for giving up the time. Thanks for obviously BTC Prague, huge event last year. Very successful, actually the biggest Bitcoin event in Europe.
yes, I would say
counter to any other claims out there. It was well done, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys are bringing to the table this year. And we will talk about that towards the end of the show. But as we discussed, myself, you, and your brother Matthias, we wanted to get kind of like a backstory about why. Why Prague? Why the Czech Republic? Where did all of this history come from? Why is there such a rich vein of freedom-thinking individuals there? And why has Bitcoin taken a hold over the country and, you know, spreading its orange glow? So I'm looking forward to learning a little bit about the Czech history here. So take it back as far as you want to go, because, you know, there's many listeners from all over the world that might not have any idea of where, before it was Czechoslovakia, you know, there's all of that story in there too. So where do you want to begin, mate?
Thank you, Daniel, for the introduction. And thank you for kind words regarding BTC Prague. I'm biased, so I'm not the right one to say it. So thank you. I follow. And it's a story that I was wondering why Czechs are so strong and so heavily and deeply driven into the Bitcoin development from its beginning. So I thought about it a lot, actually, and it required us to do some research, but I realized that it goes tightly and closely with our history of freedom fighting, which started already like 600 years ago. And it's actually quite interesting that and even Czechs are not aware of the fact that, you know, we can be even proud of other things than the beer and maybe the hockey is, you know, and of course it's a Bitcoin, but nobody really knows, which is a bit pity, but we are early. So, but maybe to give everyone a few informations regarding this, and I don't definitely want to give you like a lesson of the history, but I believe that putting some facts into the context would answer your question and explain why Czechs and why Bitcoin is so strong here regarding our favorite orange color. So just basically, we were always freedom fighters. Yeah, we gained our freedom here in the middle of the Europe. And we still need to know the fact that we are Czech Republic, like small country in the middle of the Europe, really small one, 10 million inhabitants. So we probably never gonna be like 100% free. It's about the decision if we're going to be part of the Western or the Eastern Bloc. But we fought for it many, many times in our history, and we gained the freedom and lost it again. And there are like few interesting moments in our history. And the first one happened already in the 15th century, actually, when like plebs took the officials and throw them out of the town hall window in the city of Prague. It's called like Defenestration of Prague in 15th century. And that actually marked an early struggle for our religious and civil liberty, you know. And I don't know if it became some kind of our local hobby, but it happened again 200 years after, when plebeians again throw the officials. They were like Habsburg monarchy members sitting in our Prague castle. So they threw through of them out of the windows again in 17th century. That actually escalated into the war with them. So I'm not really like saying that it was the positive, but again, it was just a symbol of our willingness to be free here. And again, like 200 years later in 19th century, we've emphasized of Czech language and our identity, and that ended in our first revolution here in 1848, when finally Prague gained its independence from German monarchy. And we had like some bright 60 years after, and after World War I, Czechoslovakia was finally officially established, where that goes with the collapse of Austro-Hungarian Empire. But as probably everybody remembers, then World War II happened. So we were fully occupied by Nazis again, lost a significant part of our land, and basically had to strive again. And as you know, as history likes to rhyme or repeat itself, so we finally thought that we are free and that we gained some kind of freedom after World War II, but not for long again. Because in 1948, we officially became, by political patch, part of a Soviet Union Communist Party, which lasted for another 20 years, when even Soviet Union troops invaded our country with an armed force and basically forced us to live under their oppressive and very brutal communist regime for another 21 years. So it's actually quite interesting that nobody teaches us about this in the history classes, you know, and because it's probably still like painful for the teachers. I don't know. Maybe we can elaborate on this briefly too.
That's really interesting. So you went through the Czech schooling system, I'm assuming, state school.
Yeah. Most of my history is closely tied with Czech schooling system, yes.
And they don't teach you about that period, like under communist rule, that's just kind of brushed over.
Yeah, not really, actually, and that's quite interesting. That you know, we were taught a lot of about like Greek philosophers. So I know that it's Diogenes who lived in the barrel, you know, which is great. But come on, I believe that like knowing more about the communism era, about the impact on our society, and understanding how painful that period of time was actually for ourselves, for our nation, would allow us to like understand nowadays situation in the world in much like reasonable details. But yes, nobody really thought about this us on the primary school. We've ended with World War II, and then I went to the secondary school when history wasn't really part of the system anymore. And this is actually quite pity. And I don't know if it goes, you know, with teachers who were still feeling like that pain in their heart. A lot of them were absolutely like part of the Communist Party. They basically had no other chance if they wanted to be teachers and have a job and work efficiently and proficiently. They had to be part of the Communist Party. So I have no 100% right answer for this. So this is only what I know from my parents and from my grandparents, who were willing to share something so I can understand how bad all of this stuff was. But it continues, you know, even like younger generations who are attending primary schools are not really taught about communist and how bad that system basically is. You know, it's not about the communism itself, but I would repeat myself. Yeah.
So I'm just whizzing through Wikipedia here and I'm just trying to get some dates. So the Czechoslovak Socialist Republic, it says 1948 to 1989.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So your parents must have, when were you born?
Yeah, I was born in 1984. So, you know, I still actually remember at least something, and maybe let me give you some examples of how weird those days actually really were. You know, as one of my grandfathers, he was a dissident, so he wasn't really allowed to have a really privileged or nice job back then. Even my mother and my uncle, her brother, weren't allowed to actually choose a school they would like to go for the secondary school and again for the university on one hand. But on the other hand, actually, my second grandfather, he was a dean on the university here in the city of Ostrava. So he was kind of a privileged. But of course, he had to be a part of the Communist Party to be able to work in such a prominent position. And he wasn't really happy about it, but that was a price that had to be paid so he can continue and focus on his work, as he worked on nuclear reactors and space program back then in 60s and 70s. And that's actually the point where the interesting story starts, that as he traveled a lot around the world, he spoke 5 languages. He always, when he traveled, he had to apply and got the stamp from the officials that he can actually leave the country. And for the purpose of his travel, he got some foreign currency, depending on the country where he was going, to buy a dinner or accommodation or whatever. But, you know, as soon as he came back to Czech Republic after the trip, he had to return all of the unspent currencies, because Czechs weren't allowed to keep any foreign currencies, maybe not to think to run across the border west, you know. So he had to give it back to the officials, and he got nominal amount back in our second officially unofficial currency, which was called bonds, you know. It lived besides the Czechoslovakia koruna. And as this second currency wasn't actually officially accepted in any store back then, which basically wasn't a problem because they were either empty, all of them. There was even a standard basic goods in the store. So the only place to go and spend that second currency was special stores. There were a few of them in Czechoslovakia back then, and they were called Tuzeks. Maybe I should Google what does it mean. And that was a special store where Western goods was available. You know, you can imagine electronics, even jeans, some kind of luxury items, not available in the regular shops, you know. But as the goods there was only available for those unofficial second currency called bonds, and you were and anyone wasn't allowed to spend the official Czechoslovakia koruna, it was prominent store, you know, which is quite absurd, because communists were telling us, hey, our party will take care of everything. We will take care of your wealth. Everybody will have the same stuff on one hand. And on other hand, they officially opened Tuzek stores. Well, prominent could buy capitalist good from the West, you know. So communism and the greatest of it. And I believe that maybe even you, or I hope you or other Bitcoiners heard of peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading marketplace created by Satoshi Labs. It's application called Vexel.
Yeah.
And that name in Vexel actually originates from the dark age of the communist. And it reminds us of the guys who were called Vexlags, traders, who were usually standing around those Tuzek stores and doing that dark market trading of that bonds, our Czechoslovakia koruna, and foreign currencies like dollars, German marks, Austrian shillings, and Italian liras and stuff like this, and vice versa. You know, they basically had a price or offer for both sides of the trade. So if someone was, for some reason, in possession of dollars, they were definitely totally useless here in Czech Republic. And it was actually illegal. So people having dollars or marks or whatever could end up in a prison, basically. So they usually reached those Vexlags standing next to Tuzek's Western stores and bought a bonds, those second currency, papers and coins for those second currencies. So they can go and visit the store and buy some Western goods, you know. And it's actually weird because it was completely illegal, but it was like kind of like officially tolerated, you know, like the officials just closed their eyes when they saw the vex slugs on the street. And it was actually, and I realized that like years after that, it was not a coincidence. And there's like funny example that when Velvet Revolution happened in 1989, it was a situation which actually came a few weeks after the Berlin Wall went down. Our official Czech Republic National Bank was established. And the National Bank was curious how much Czech korunas they shall pay for dollars or for marks or for shillings or for any other currency, but they had no idea because there was no history of the exchange rate. So the officials from the National Bank went to streets, found those vex slugs, and asked them, "Hey guys, how much shall we give like our inhabitants for every dollar or for marks?" And basically the vex slugs set our first national official exchange rate for any foreign currencies on top of our Czech National Bank, you know, Czechoslovakia National Bank. So this is, you know, like totally absurd, you know, just
that's amazing. That's the plebs, right?
That's the plebs. Yeah.
That's the plebs now. So you can imagine like a national bank now coming to the plebs and saying, "Yeah, you Bitcoin dudes, like, where should we actually set the price for our, you know, our local fiat shitcoin as, you know, we go through this transition?" Mate, I had no idea about why it was called Vexilent. And funnily enough, I've got an interview lined up with Grafton tomorrow.
He's great.
He's going to really delve into all of that as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. And for those people that don't know, it's an app you can download and find peer-to-peer trades, and you go and meet them in person and make those trades. And I know I've seen it in action in Prague. I've not had the chance to play around with it myself yet, but hopefully next time we're there in Prague for BTC Prague, hopefully in June we'll be there. I'm going to be able to find some plebs on there, and it should be very easy, you know, in a conference.
There's going to be plenty of vex slugs running the BTC Prague conference. But if Grafton's joining your show tomorrow, well, maybe I leave this on him. he can tell much more, you know. But
so I've got a few questions about about the history, because so it's funny, right? You're born in 1984 of all the years. So very, very Orwellian of you. And you would have been, about five then when the revolution happened in 1989. So probably don't remember too much of that other than, did you have television channels? Was this something that was being like broadcast? Like what do you remember your parents talking about at that time? Like, you know, what was the feel?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot in person, to be honest. And it goes even with the fact that we used to live in Moscow back then.
Wow.
So living in Moscow, so I believe that the like Russian media weren't really happy about the Czech Revolution here.
No.
And seeing the fact that we are trying to get rid of them. And my parents were definitely scared. So I remember that they called to Czech Republic very often, you know, they sent letters. We still had to remember that was the analog era back then, like no cell phones. We went to the phone booth to street to give them the call to our relatives. So it was quite weird.
Why were you in Moscow? What was your father's work?
Yeah, my father, he followed my grandfather's steps. So he worked for academics. And he worked on some stainless steel improvement design with a Russian iron mill factory there. And we basically moved to Finland after the Velvet Revolution so he can continue with his work. And he did his diploma there and a PhD. So he was academic, basically. He says that.
Cool. Right. Okay. So Yeah, it's such a weird moment in history. And I was actually going to bring up this point because Germany invaded. So World War II, you'd get taught about this, right? This is what I was not taught about when I was going through my state indoctrination. because of course our state indoctrination in the UK system is, you know, Germany bad, England good, yay, we won the both world wars. Like that's what it surmounts to. Now I read the book, The Tower of Basel, and it's an incredible read. If anybody's not read that one yet, it really does get into the weeds of the Bank of International Settlements and how that was set up. But the story in there about when Germany invaded Czechoslovakia, and of course, what's the first thing any country does is go to the bank, right? They want the gold. Now, from memory, what happened was they go to the gold, they go to the bank to find out where the gold is so that they can steal the gold and finance the war machine. But the gold had been placed under the guard of the Bank of England. So the account was held at the Bank of England. But at gunpoint, the manager of the bank called the Bank of England to have all of the gold reserves of Czechoslovakia transferred to the Third Reich's account in the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. Neutral, okay, in air quotes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that got green flagged. And that got green flagged by Montagu Norman, who was head of the Bank of England, who also just happened to be co-founder of the Bank of International Settlements with Helmut Schacht, who was in Germany, a German guy. So they allowed the transfer of all of the Czechoslovakian gold to the Third Reich's bank account under the Bank of International Settlements. We don't get told that in England. Like, our head of the Bank of England basically helped finance the war machine of the Third Reich, which then would have used that to build munitions to rain down on London. Like, this is complete and utter fucking it's an outrage on every sense. It's, mate, so there's so much here that, did you know of that history? Had you heard that story or read that story before?
No. I haven't heard, but I'm not really surprised, to be honest. You know, just great example of not a single logic in it, you know. It's money driven, right? It's fiat driven. Mm. So it's, we have many, many other examples of like such a bullshit, you know.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Not about the humanity, not about the country, not about anything. Yeah, it's just about supporting the fiat animal, feeding it.
So when did you get back to the Czech Republic then? And when did it come, the Czech Republic? Hang on, I've got my dates here. Yeah, when did that happen?
What do you mean? The Velvet Revolution or...
So you were Czechoslovakia, but then you become...
Yes. Separated in 1993.
Right.
Yeah, and that goes mostly after Slovakians, as their country felt like being too much involved by our Czech politics. And, you know, they are actually far away from Prague, so they thought that actually Slovaks should decide what's good for Slovaks in Slovakia, not in Prague. And it was like peaceful separation, I would say, you know. And Czechs love Slovaks, and I hope that it works even vice versa. They are like our brothers. We can understand our languages fluently. So that's it. Yeah. So that happened in 1993, peacefully, luckily.
Right, okay. Yeah. When did you return then to Prague?
Yeah, so we returned soon after the revolution, actually, to Prague. Stayed here for 1.5 years and moved to Finland for almost 6 years, actually.
Wow, man. So you've been all over the place.
Yeah, a few places I visited already as a kid. Yes, yes. I traveled.
Excellent. So then I guess at some point, you growing up, you're a young man, Bitcoin enters your life for some reason. What was that?
Actually, I hope the story is like more like interesting, but it's quite common, I would say, you know, and it follows like the story of many others that I was introduced into Bitcoin in 2017. Just few friends told me about it during a week, just out of nothing, basically. And when I was back at home talking with my wife, she just said, "Hey, I've heard about something like Bitcoin today. You've heard of it?" And I said, "Okay, so that's interesting. That's probably really happening something around here. We shall explore." So we did some basic research and realized that it's like worth of maybe spending some money on it. So we bought some small portion. And as it is always, as soon as you put some money into something, it drives your attention, you know. So I've studied more and I've explored, I bought, I did a lot of shit coining because I was finding what's the better Bitcoin, you know, and I had to lose some of money to learn the lesson. And I hope I've learned. So soon in like 2019, I've realized that, okay, there's no better Bitcoin. It doesn't make sense. You know, you cannot copy it, right? So I was thinking even with my brother, you know, what shall or can we do in the space just except hodling, you know? And as we are not like developers or technically focused guys, and we were always like fans of getting people together and organizing parties and having fun and having our relatives closer. So we fought for ourselves. So what about we do like a Bitcoin conference? So I did some research, and as I worked in e-commerce for many years as business development manager and project manager, I visited like many differently focused events here in Czechia and in Europe. So I knew something how like probably small events should be managed and organized. And so we did research and we realized that basically there's no like proper Bitcoin conference in Czech Republic. There were like few others, differently focused, more like cypherpunk style and stuff like this. So we said, okay, let's give it a try. Let's organize a Bitcoin conference. So we created brand ChainCamp. That's our second conference. It happens in Ostrava, but that gets us to the year of 2020, but then COVID appeared, you know, and it was like really crazy. Our governments, they were acting it was a nonsense, basically. They came up with the saying that, hey, every event or public gathering for more than 500% is forbid with the validity of today's midnight. And I said, come on, it takes us like 2 days to organize it at the place and everything. But we gave it a try and we've informed everyone, hey, that the worst case is that can happen is that we will just ping you that maybe we are not able to make it happen. But we were super lucky, actually, because we picked a date for the first year of the ChainCamp when the restrictions were down for a week for some reason. You know, this government said, hey, no restrictions for this week. Enjoy, guys. And our conference fit into it. So we got like huge traction because we were basically the only ones who were organizing anything. So we've attracted 450 visitors, realized that it's actually a lot of fun, you know, and that we like it, that we can learn a lot, that we can meet a lot of interesting people, realize what's noise and what's like the signal. So we thought that, okay, let's repeat. So we repeated year after 2021. Again, we picked a date when the restrictions were down because that was still the COVID back then. Doubled the number, so we've reached 1,000 visitors, and Czech only Bitcoin only conference. You know, so we still need to consider it in Czech Republic with 10 million inhabitants only. Doubled the number again year after in 2022, and somebody actually told us that we are the biggest non-English speaking conference in the world. And we said, like what, really? We haven't thought about it in this way, and it penetrated the Bitcoin space here in Czech Republic and even abroad. And so we got some requires from foreign speakers and foreign partners that they somehow want to be part of it, you know, come to speak and come to present what they work on and stuff like this. So we thought how we can actually merge it together. But that would, you know, that would require us to move from Ostrava to Prague, switch from Czech to English, at least maybe on stage. And we realized that would ruin the brand of ChainCamp, of our local conference. It is like really plaid focused, orange peeling focused. So we said, hey, let's create another event, like English first, international one, in Prague. So what the goals should be, and we like challenges with Matthias, we said like, we have basically only one shot to be the biggest in the Europe. So let's be biggest in the Europe. You know, let's attract 10,000 visitors and 100 companies. And we said, is it doable? You know, it was the year of bear market. But we said, hey, everybody is in bear market. So it's not about the market situation. We have all same conditions, right? So we give it a try, basically, and here we are, you know. Of course, fair is to say that we received like great support from Satoshi Labs, from Stick and Slash, and they are like the OGs of OGs. They have their they like in basically every Bitcoin door, you know, and they were willing us to open doors for us, and they stand up for us, gave us the trust. You see, it was funny, you know, we went to Pacific Bitcoin in LA with Matthias in 2022, and we were just two random guys running the venue with our crazy story of creating like the biggest Bitcoin conference in the world for the first shot. And I remember the faces. Yeah, it was like, yeah, guys, sure. Cross fingers, you know. And it turned out to be a good idea because it mostly went well. It wasn't actually easy. Yeah, but... It was a success. So, but I'm not the right one to say it. It was from our perspective, it was great. And I love the feedback. But I don't know if I have answered your question, but I basically covered the Bitcoin story of mine here.
Yeah, absolutely. What a rabbit hole story. And so you said before you were just working in e-commerce, that you'd kind of left college and just found a job working in e-commerce. That was what?
Yeah, I was always like a curious guy. And I was always curious about the IT. So already on secondary school, I tested hardware, GPUs, CPUs, motherboards, monitors, and LCDs and stuff like this. Wrote articles, explored. Then I switched. I did some IT support stuff. Then I had like my small company taking care of IT service. Then I went and applied for the e-commerce. Learned what project management is. Then I jumped into the business development, learned what sales is about. And I would say that I'm a fast learner and I get bored of like stereotypic stuff. So as soon as I get bored, I always come up with another creative, crazy idea what I can do and work to. So I like to switch and learn, basically. Yeah.
What were the official numbers through the door for BTC Prague last year?
Yeah, 6,500 visitors in 3 days, unique visitors.
Wow. That's awesome. And what do you think? I mean, are you getting any inkling as to how many people are going to come this year, or ticket sales about to take off? Like, you can never tell, right?
Yeah, you can never tell. As this is actually quite interesting that COVID changed the way how people buy tickets, like completely, basically. As before the COVID, people were usually used to buy the early bird waves, you know, and it goes with music festivals, music parties, conferences, not only Bitcoin ones, but in general. And for some reason, and I actually think that it's because people are still scared of the COVID, you know, or not about the COVID itself, but about the government approach. They buy for the very last moment, I would say. Yeah, the majority of the tickets are being sold during last 2 months. And the second thing is that, you know, when we see Bitcoin being in the bull run, almost hitting new ATH every day. And I believe the visitors are speculating because price of Bitcoin grows much faster than we are making our tickets more expensive. So it's actually a good idea to save Bitcoin and buy later. But it's a bit stressy for me, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, you know, accept it, they will come. Build it, they will come. There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to get, at the minimum, the same kind of numbers as you did last year. But if you follow the trend that you followed with your other events, I mean, could you imagine doubling? Like, it really?
I can, actually. Not for this year. Our goal is to attract 8,500 visitors. That is, I believe, the maximum that the venue can hold, still being sure that everybody will feel somehow comfortable there. You know, I don't want to make it like really super crowded and sweaty, you know. But we are already thinking about 2025 and we can really go crazy in the same venue. We can hire more halls, which follows there, and we can go up to 30,000 or 25,000. Yeah, maybe having 25,000 visitors in the year of 2025 would be nice. Yeah.
Wow, man, that's huge.
But it depends on the market situation the most. You know, still the Bitcoin price is the most effective factor.
And you had the best beer in all Bitcoin conferences.
I would say, yes. It's the best, it's yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody is listening and they want to get out there, it's just available on the website and they can use the code BITTEN and they'll get 10% off of that purchase. And it's such a great event. And have you got any different plans this year, special announcements, or are you keeping things pretty tight? I know you're announcing something every day at the moment, but what are you able to share?
Yeah, okay. I will start like a low profile. So basically, we are going to copy paste the format of the last year as it turned out to be like the great idea, how we divided the venue into two main sections, like the main stage and the expo section connected with the main hall. It allowed people to orient there easily, and that outside section with the food tracks, chill zone, beer points, and fun stuff. I believe that worked well. So this year we're gonna copy paste but tune and polish everything up. So there were like a lot of things that might be better. So we're gonna improve them this year. And the major difference and the change is that we are going to have an after party on the conference every single day, because you know, from the feedback, we realized that people got lost while traveling to the city center, and basically all the Bitcoiners wanna stay together even after the conference, network, talk about Bitcoin or anything else. But you know, that's wonderful, and that's what I like on the Bitcoin the most, actually, the people, you know, because if you meet Bitcoiner from anywhere, actually all around the world, you can probably be sure that you share at least some same life values, you know. So it's easy to end up with like nice conversation, and there's always a Bitcoin you can talk about. So we want to allow all the people to stay there, have fun. We're going to open like another bar, put some DJs on the stage and make it like enjoyable every single day. And there are like some other small things which going to improve the like overall quality of the event and of the enjoyability of it a lot. So for example, in the expo section, there's going to be like a big booth of 21 world communities, like the gathering point where Einund Zwanzig or our local Jedna Dvacet or Ventuno from Italy can actually, those plebs can meet there and talk and share what are the cultural differences or in their countries. And I believe that will help us to work for our mission as we are trying to build the Bitcoin bridges across the Europe, allow the plebs and everyone grow faster together.
Yeah, that's such a huge point, because I don't know about you, but like I remember 2016, 17, 18, 19, sitting there just watching everything explode in the US or North America, you know, US and Canada, and thinking, we are so far behind. What's going on over there? All of the innovation, all of the conversations seem to be coming from over there. The podcast guests would always be, you know, from that part of the world. And that, I feel, has shifted like huge, almost inverted, because the work going on, not just in Europe, but across, you know, like Australia now, our Aussie brothers, they've just thrown their second event, Bitcoin Alive, in Sydney, and they have the Bush Bash run by Wizard of Oz and I think Old Uncle Bill. The initiatives that are going on around the world, and obviously what's going on in El Salvador, Guatemala, Paraguay, you know, all of these places, Roatan, Dushan doing great work over there. Yeah. It's just incredible. But the idea that when you look at Europe, it's such this melting pot of different cultures, different languages, and different approaches to Bitcoin, but with all the same goal. And you look at a city like Arnhem. I had Patrick on from Arnhem, Bitcoinstad. 10 years ago, they've been doing this for 10 years. That knowledge needs unlocking. and bringing them across to Prague to meet the Islands of Unzvik, you know, they've done incredible work. Meet what you guys are doing in Prague. And name the companies that are in Prague, like Satoshi Labs. You go for it. Like, there's so many.
Yeah, I actually completely follow on this. Yeah, we do not need to reinvent the wheel again and again, you know. We just need to bring the people together. And I understand that it's not easy in the Europe because of so many small countries, different languages, different culture history, even different use cases for Bitcoin, you know. The people are approaching Bitcoin with different needs and from different perspectives. You know, I believe that they end up understanding that the use cases are more like same. And I'm glad that it happens in Prague because, you know, Prague, and I believe that it has established itself as the Bitcoin capital of the world, you know, and I've already explained the history. So I would more like say that it's not a coincidence. It's more like a natural escalation of our freedom finding. And because of the communism era and those Tuzek stores and the lack of basic goods in the stores, we just had to be creative as a Czechs. So that created that culture of like craftsmanship in our country. People had to build everything by themselves, you know, like furniture, sport equipment, electronics, because it was simply in the need, right? But to answer your questions, yes, the craftsmanship brought people and creative minds together already in 2009 in the hackerspace in Prague. And few people met there, reaching and seeing that there's something like geeky around Bitcoin happening, you know, and they actually created most of the tools, not in the intent of providing them to the Bitcoin market. They were first trying to solve their own problems, you know, they had with Bitcoin. So for example, Slash from Satoshi Labs created Slash Pool already in 2010. That was like the first Bitcoin mining pool ever announced, and it already mined more than 1 million Bitcoin. Probably not a single pool will reach such a number then. Again, like the 2 years after, Slash and Stick from Satoshi Labs created first ever hardware wallet because they thought that storing like Bitcoin addresses on the paper is not safe enough, you know, or storing them in like in the online application. And 1 year after, again, Slash and Stick, they created BEP39 standard in Prague. Whole seed phrase stuff, it origin from Prague, basically, you know. In the same year, General Bytes created first ever Bitcoin ATM, and they are the biggest manufacturer of them in the world. And last but not least, you know, Brains Mining Company and their custom ASIC mining firmware, which can auto-tune the chips so they can produce like a higher hash rate, and they care and run the Slash Pool, Brains Pool now. Again, it's Prague, you know, and they have their headquarters there, or maybe Paralelní Polis. That's like a hackerspace which works and operates in Prague already for 10 years. And they never accepted payments in fiat. They are driven and run on crypto only since 2014, yeah? And I don't know what else to say, you know, it's just so those companies and people who work for Bitcoin, you know, they set like such a strong ground for Bitcoin success. And then it's I don't want to like maybe I don't know, I'm gonna send it from a different perspective, that building on such a strong ground, it's and knowing about snowballing effect, you know. So when those companies grow, they hire more people and they share the message of the Bitcoin. And because of our history, we always love like the peer-to-peer changing and buying, not only Bitcoin, but everything. We like non-KYC approach because government cannot take our property out of us. And just it escalated so quickly that, you know, now in the Czech Republic, in the country of 10 million inhabitants, we have 300,000 Bitcoiners. That's like the best estimation, like 3% of the population is orange pilled here. And I'm not talking about the crypto guys, you know, so considering even this would maybe get us to the higher numbers, you know. So I'm proud that I can continue with this in Prague, with BTC Prague, actually, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't you have like the biggest in-store merchant that accepts Bitcoin? I never remember. It's like a supermarket chain or something.
Yeah, it's like our biggest e-commerce store called Alza. And you can buy anything except groceries there for Bitcoin. Right. Even a Tesla, actually. Yeah. And you can get all those stuff delivered into, how is it called? Like a postal box. And they are all around the Czech Republic, outside on the streets. And they don't ask for your name or for any details. They only ask for phone numbers so they can deliver you an SMS with the code to open the locker, you know, and you can buy like an anonymous SIM card. So you can really spend Bitcoin for anything here in Czech Republic, still not like spoiling your personal data, which is like great. Yeah.
Has the event, did that attract any officials, in air quotes, politicians? Is anyone reaching out, like interested to come and learn, or are you still like at that stage where they're still fighting it? What's the feel?
Yes, so far it was like mostly that they don't care, neither the side, you know, and there were no fighting, no supporting it, just not giving a shit, basically. Which is good, because there's no like a proper understanding of the regulation. The regulation is not ready for crypto in general. But it's I would say like changing slowly. And it looks like that government is already like talking about Bitcoin and supporting it. Maybe even like officially approving the time test, like in Germany. So if you are in position of crypto for more than 3 years, it's considered to be like a bond or a stock, and you don't need to pay any tax from the income of it if you hold it for more than, and that's the question, if it will be like 1, 2, or 3 years. But it's like somehow happening already, especially here in Czech Republic, in the positive way, I would say, on one hand. But on other hand, we are seeing that European Union is coming with the regulation of forbidding any custody wallets, you know, that you basically have to go through the AML process if you want to store anything on your wallet anywhere, which is really funny, because that's just another proof how detached they are from the reality. They understand nothing, you know. It's really crazy.
I love what did I call it? An unhosted wallet, right? That's the language that they've settled on. It's like, oh my God.
But we are fine. We've already lost all of our bitcoins in the boating accident, right? So we do not need to bother. But I'm sad for all the people who did not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly, mate. Oh well, I think we've covered most things. Was there anything else that you wanted to cover or touch on before I ask you the last question?
I just want to like invite everyone to come to BTC Prague, because that event is unprecedented, I would say, and it happens in the middle of the Europe. It won't be easier to travel to such a scale conference, and we are really care, and we really curate every single speaker, every single partner, and we try to separate noise from the signal. So if anyone considers Bitcoin being like interesting topic, or is already in Bitcoin and want to learn more and meet people, just come to the conference, because it's like mostly now in AI era, you know, we probably won't be able to recognize what's true and what's not in the online space in upcoming years. But meeting people face to face is something which will still have, or even have like the higher value in the future. And it's like going to the music festival or to the concert. If you are a fan of Pink Floyd, of course, you can put the LP on and listen with your high quality headphones, but feeling that energy of people around enjoying the same vibe, it's like unprecedented. So just come to BTC Prague. Yeah.
It's so true. And if you can't make it, then just at least get to a local event. Just even if it's a 2-hour drive, get to an event, get in front of people, because it's so important to feel that. And I've met so many Bitcoiners. Some have been in Bitcoin of like 5 to 10 years, never been to a conference, never been to a meetup, never actually met. They might have met Bitcoiners in person, like one-on-one, and that's always great. But when there's like minimum 10 of you, there's something else, like the energy, like the frequency, the vibe, if you want to go all woo-woo, is different. It's so different, and it's tangible. And you get thousands of people in a room together. I saw some incredible transformations, last year at BTC Prague, where a few newbies that had come along with some friends from the UK, just having their minds blown time and time again. And by the time he kept sending voice messages to his son, who was living in Canada, he's like, "We've got to start buying some Bitcoin." He's like getting messages back. He's like, "Dad, you're going a bit crazy." Like, but it was just incredible to see. Then he started buying all of the books, and I hope he comes back again this year and brings a friend with him. One pleb at a time, right? This is all it takes. And these events are put on for a reason, and we may as well be going to them and attending them and supporting them. And yes, there's an outlay of cost. There is an outlay of cost in euros, pounds, dollars, whatever it is. And there is an outlay of cost in time as well. But the opportunities that come, like you have no idea where this could lead. And there are so many stories, like Nathan Day, who founded BTC Maps. He freaking decided to do that while sitting in the front row of the Riga conference at the Baltic Honey Badger. Like, you know, too many things going off his mind. Right, I need to do something. Had found a group of guys and started BTC Map within a few weeks. But this is what happens. And this is what I want more and more plebs to understand, that like, once you get there and you find the people, you'll connect with everyone on a certain level, but then there'll be a few others that are just like, no, we have to do this. Like this idea we just discussed over a beer, around surrounded by like-minded people, this now has to happen. And that could be any kind of project.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Like Satoshi Labs, Trezor, Slashpool, it won't happen if those guys won't get together and think and meet and brainstorm, you know? And now when we are heading to another bull run, okay, it's great for Bitcoin, but, and I can already see there are so many scammy projects popping out like mushrooms, actually. And being on the event allows you to like easily consider what's valid and what's not. And there are tons of people who can tell you the truth, you know. They probably won't tell it online on the Twitter because somebody can grab them and nobody wants to end up with problems. But going to the conference, and okay, definitely it's not only about the BTC Prague. You can do the same with the small meetup, and please do so. I completely follow. It's a great way how to give people like the real reasons why to do Bitcoin, why not to shitcoin, that there's no free money, you know, nobody will just give you airdrop and stuff like this. And it helps you understand that if you are not paying for the product, you are the product again, right? We've talked about it. So yeah, events are best, definitely.
Right, Martin, if you had one last orange pill left to give to somebody, who would you give it to and why?
Oh, wow. Tough one, man. Orange. Okay, I have one pill and I have to give it to someone. I will probably target high, you know. Maybe really going to some government guy. I do not need to go into names now. But that's probably it, you know. As bottom-up approach is here in Czech Republic goes pretty well, but we need the regulators to understand that, hey guys, there's something like really, really happening, and we as a Czech Republic can benefit on it. Oh man, so much. So yeah, I would target high. Maybe our president. I would orange pill our president. He's a cool guy, by the way. Finally, after many, many years, and having him in Bitcoin would help us to like stand out of the crowd and make Czech Republic great again. Yeah.
Love it. Let's get him along. Let's get him along and listening to some of the panels. That would be the best way we can do that.
Yeah, we can even ask Samson. Maybe he can help us. Yeah.
Get Samson and Philip to give him a ring and like, yeah, you know, you want to come along and get in front of some of the plebs. All right, mate. Well, what's the best way to find you and to learn more about BTC Prague?
Yeah, like Twitter. I believe that for some reason, Bitcoiners have took over that medium, which is great. So we are definitely on Twitter. BTC Prague handle, and it's not hard to find even my handle there.
It used to be.
I'm sorry.
It used to be hard to find you.
You're right. That was my old nickname from World of Warcraft days. So I realized that, okay, it's not a good idea to keep it for now. But yes, so that's the best way, or anyone can actually reach us on hello.btcprague.com. We answer every single email. So I'm more than happy to answer all the questions. Just do not hesitate, guys. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on, mate. Thanks for everything that you're doing. And I look forward to seeing both of you guys. Fingers crossed, both of you guys will get over and we'll hang out in Prague.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Daniel, for the invitation. And I hope you're going to make it too with Laura.
We'll see you soon, mate. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Martin, again, for coming on and going through all of that information. Really great stuff. And like I mentioned in the show there, the next one to drop is with Grafton from Vexel, who is running that whole project. And it's so cool. It's really worth you downloading that app ahead of time and having a little play around with it and then listening to the next episode to get up to speed. I've been unlucky enough so far to have found a trading pair, but we're so damn early on these things, as you well know. But I'm hoping to be able to find that there'll be loads of Vexelers in BTC Prague. And yes, we are going. So we're looking forward to seeing all of you that are busy getting your tickets and your plans together right now. And like I've said at the beginning of this show and many others, if you use the code BITTEN, BITTEN, at discount, you will get those discounts on the tickets. And reach out to me or Martin or Matches if you're looking for a discount on running a booth or something like that. They're very open to, of course, Bitcoiners looking to do Bitcoiny things. I was going to do another readout actually from Fountain. I'm not sure if you guys are using Fountain app to listen to your podcasts. I've been doing that completely now for over a year, I think. And it's awesome. And it keeps getting better and better and better. And I know a lot of people that started playing around with it in the early days, they found a lot of bugs. They found the UX kind of clunky. They found it would crash. I certainly did. But Nick and Oscar, they're still here. They're still putting in the hard yards. And they've got a little bit of investment. And they've been investing with the team, building the team, and improving the UX, and you can earn sats by listening to certain episodes and podcasts. So it's definitely worth you going out, checking it out, and recircling back to it if you have come away from it before. So Marcellus, shout out from What the Fuck Happened in February 2023. Great show, Daniel. Values and integrity matter, and unfortunately, the noobs are easily attracted to the Udis and Rowels. The fucking scammers are really good at what they do. Anyway, we're going to win. And then Salty Crayon from the Bitcoin Veterans episode with Gabe Lord. As a veteran, this was informative to myself, hearing how large this encompasses. How does Gabe not have a value split on your podcast? That's another thing I've got to look into and start doing the value splits. So the guests can earn a few sats on the back of coming on the show as well. Like I said, all of these tools were very early. Vexel, as we were talking about in this show. Fountain, who have been putting in the hard yards and the good work. Wasabi, which is just a real shame to lose that after all of their hard work over the years. The Samurai guys, you know, there's a lot of nonsense going on Bitcoin at the moment. And It's tough to see. We're here to fix the money, people. I mean, it's that simple. Anything else is just noise. So head down, keep stacking. You've got Swan in the US. You have Relay across Europe where you can stack your sats. You have Zap right now helping you accept an invoice for Bitcoin. That's Zaprite. That's built by John McGill, and he's got Parker Lewis on the team. They've been on the podcast talking about it in the past. Use Zaprite /Bitten. You can save $40 on a one-year membership there. Get over to mempool.space. Up your knowledge and up your friends and family's knowledge. Use it as an educational tool. It's such a great visual. Bitbox, Like I said at the beginning of the show, take self-custody. If you're not taking self-custody, you're not doing it right. Up your education. Always be doing that. Reach out to Looking Glass, lookingglasseducation.com. Link in the show notes. Use the code BITTEN or just sell Daz or Seb or whoever answers the phone that I sent you. They're going to look after you for sure. They're going to talk you through absolutely anything. In fact, I was just on the call with Daz the other day. I had a problem with a transaction and I just needed a friendly voice at the end of the phone. Like, man, what am I doing here? Maybe I can't see the forest through the trees because, you know, it was just a simple restart. It was just a classic. Unplug the freaking cord and plug it back in, Princey. She'll be right. It's not like you're about to break Bitcoin. So they've got you, and they're a great bunch of teams. Get over to Consensus Network and get yourself a book, bitcoinbook.shop. Use the code BITTEN. You will get a discount, and you'll also get a discount if you pay via the Lightning Network. And yeah, looking forward to seeing you guys at any of the conferences coming up. We'll be in Oslo, Bulgaria, and Prague. So come say hi. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the next show.